I'm Lee Blue, and this is Double Stack, where WordPress freelancers discover the tech stack and the business development stack to become high-value, sought-after WordPress consultants. So if you're tired of burning yourself out with those high-stress, low-budget projects, and you're ready to start working with clients you love at the rates you're really worth, then you're in the right place. All of this is 100% free, so please subscribe to and review our podcast. So let's talk about what happens if the client says no. And I don't mean what are you going to do if the client says no. What I mean is what's the client going to do if they don't work with you? And the reason I want to talk about that is because that will give you some insight into how you've positioned yourself in the eyes of your client. And so by answering that question, you're going to understand what it is that the client sees in the relationship and what you can do in order to make sure you're moving into high-ticket consulting instead of being stuck with this low-budget implementation. And so so if the client says no, like, why didn't they want to work with you? And was your price too high? Did they go with somebody less expensive? Were you not able to get them to see the value of what you're offering? Was your solution overly technical and confusing? Did they want to work with you, but the price just exceeded their budget? You know, we need to uncover what these objections are so that we can see what's really going on, because there's two sides to every relationship, right? There's what you're doing, and then there's what the client brings to the table too. And so we need to unpack that to figure out what you're actually doing. Like, are you building a business where you're just trying to win jobs, implementing stuff that just people ask you to do? Or are you actually building an actual consulting business where you're helping your clients achieve these better outcomes for their businesses because of the work that you're providing? And there's a stark differences between those two types of things. And the purpose of this podcast and this group that we have set up here, Building High Value WordPress Sites, it's not just about implementing websites. It's about building better businesses for your clients. And so let's dive into that. So I'm Lee Blue, founder of Double Stack, and we get together on Tuesdays and do these live workshops. And so this is going to be really cool. And so let's talk about the unknown factors when you meet with a client. And so there's two different kinds of unknown factors that we're going to be addressing here. But the whole point of a client meeting, like when you sit down with you get a lead and they say, hey, I'm interested in having you build a website or whatever it might be. When you sit down and have the meeting, the reason you're having the meeting is because, I can't seem to remember about the garage. Hey, Tony, it's good to see you. It's funny. So the reason you're having the meeting with your client is because of the unknown factors. If there weren't any unknown factors, they would either already be paying you or they wouldn't want to have the meeting in the first place, right? Because they would already know that it's not a good fit. But answering the unknown factors usually has three different outcomes. Sometimes it's just a bad fit, right? Like you have the client meeting and it could be a bad fit either from your perspective or from theirs, right? So like maybe they ask you to do something that's just not your forte. You know, it's just not something you want to. Maybe they're trying to do a migration into Salesforce or something and you've never worked with Salesforce before and you don't want to do it. Or maybe you look at them and you're thinking, man, this guy is so incredibly indecisive. We're never ever going to be able to make progress. How are we ever going to do anything if everybody changes their mind all the time? I don't want to work with somebody like that. And so, you know, there's unknown factors on both sides of the table, and you need to uncover that to decide if this is going to be a good client relationship. And so sometimes you just realize, hey, it's not going to work out. It's a bad fit for whatever reason. But other times it is a good fit. And it comes down to the value, right? It's like, it would be a good fit. You'd like to do what they want you to do. You think they're a good person to work with and everything. It's a good fit with everything except the money. And so you think, well, why? Why is that? How does it come down to that? Because if you don't have the resources to do your best work, then good results won't be forthcoming, and then it'll be a bad relationship. And so why does it turn out to be a bad fit because of the money? And that comes down to the unknown factors. It's like there's two different kinds of unknown factors when you start meeting with clients. There's the things that they know that they don't know, and then there's the things that they don't know that they don't know, right? So for example, you know that you're going to have to talk about what the price is going to be. You know that you're going to have to talk about how long is it going to take and, you know, different details that go into the project, and when is your availability, like when can you start, like all of these different kinds of questions are all things that everybody, like the client comes in knowing that they don't know those types of things, and if they could figure out those types of things, then they could decide if they can move forward. And so that's kind of the base level of unknown factors. And what I've discovered is that most of the web designers, especially the ones who are coming from like an agency or don't really feel like they have a lot of business consulting already in their background, a lot of them just kind of are stuck in this kind of implementation box where all of the questions are questions that are what I would refer to as type A unknown questions, meaning like everybody knows that these are topics. It's just we're trying to fill in the answers for them. Like, how many pages do you want? What's your budget? You know, who are you trying to reach? Like, you know, what are some competition? Like, who's your competition? It's like, these are things that everybody already knows, but we just need to uncover. We need to kind of get answers to this so we know how to move forward. And this is like the base level. It's like the lowest level of answering questions. And the goal of getting the answers to those questions is just to be able to implement the solution to address those problems. And that means you're in implementation mode. It means that the client is leading the meeting. Like, they're trying to interview you to figure out if you can do the things they want you to do at the price that they feel like they can afford. And if the answer tends to be yes, then you move forward with the project. If they say no, then that's the kind of the point of this question. So what happens if the client says no, right? So that's the point of our conversation today. Because if the client says no, because they feel like they can just go and get the same thing for less from somebody else, well, that should tell you that you've kind of put yourself into this kind of type A, answering the obvious unknown questions with an implementation mindset. Like, I want to learn what the client wants, and I want to do a really good job doing those things. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not trying to say that there's a problem with that mentality, except for the fact that it doesn't lead to high ticket consulting, right? There's nothing morally wrong with wanting to figure out what your client wants and then do a good job for them. The problem is type B unknowns. It's the second thing, which is the client doesn't really know all the things to ask, right? There's things that the client doesn't know that they don't know. And that's where we need to get in order to make sure that you're in the leadership role. And when you do this, you're going to change the perception of value that comes from working with you. And that's ultimately what you really want. You want your clients to achieve a level of success because of you that they wouldn't be able to achieve somewhere else. And you can't get there by sticking with these type A unknowns, by sticking with only answering the questions that everybody already knows they want answers to. Like, the things that you come into the meeting wanting to discover in order to decide if you want to move forward. Like, if that's where you stop, you can't get into the situation where your client's looking at you as a specialist, as an authority, as the expert, as someone who's leading them into a level of success that they wouldn't otherwise be able to get if it wasn't for you. That's the most important thing. And so it's the most important thing if you want to do high-ticket consulting. It doesn't matter if you only want to do low budget kind of implementation. Like, if you've got the mindset, well, I just want to sell $1,500 websites and, you know, I'm just kind of doing this on the side and blah, 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 whatever, and I just want to do implementation stuff, then you don't really have to worry about this because all you want to do is get the answers from the client to figure out what to do. But if you want to get into a situation where you're selling like $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, you know, $20,000, like just last week, I was working with a double stacker, landed a $22,000 project. So like, if you want to do that, you can't stick with the implementation only style questions and answering the obvious unknowns. You have to get into the unknown unknowns. Like, what do I not know that I couldn't even ask the question for? And then when you begin to ask those types of questions and provide that type of leadership, well, then I fundamentally, as your client, I would fundamentally change my perception of who I think you are, what I think you're doing, how much I need to be working with you, what the value would be if I put on that relationship. And that is ultimately the idea behind providing leadership for your clients. And leadership is ultimately the idea behind getting into high ticket business consulting, where you can actually land these $20,000 projects or whatever. So, okay, let's think about it from one other angle before we wrap this up. One way to know, so let's get some more clarity on the different types of unknowns, right? And one way to know whether you're kind of stuck in kind of this base kind of type A, just answering the obvious questions? Or are you elevating up to type B, where you're actually providing leadership and kind of opening your client's mind into realizing things that they didn't even know that they didn't know? And one way you can figure that out is who's asking the questions. Like, if you find that your client is always the one asking the questions, they're saying, well, how much does it cost? Or what do you charge per hour? What's your hourly rate? When are you available? Like, all of these different types of questions that are very common, but your client's kind of asking it, then what you realize then is, okay, well, if they're asking the questions and they're really kind of directing the whole conversation and running the show, and we're really not ever getting into a situation where you are telling them things that they didn't know that they didn't know. So right off the bat, if you're not the one asking the questions, you're not the one leading the meeting. And so you're just in implementation mode. But just because you're asking the questions doesn't mean you've kind of stepped into this next level of business consulting. And what I mean by that is, like, say, for example, what's the difference between the client asking you how much does the website cost versus you asking the client what's your budget, right? It's like you're just trying to figure out what the price is going to be. And everybody knows it. And so just because you're asking what's the budget doesn't mean that you're really leading the conversation, because at some point everybody knows that we're going to have to figure out what does it cost. And so that's an example of where you could be the one asking the questions, but you're still stuck in this answering obvious questions mode, where you're being seen as implementer rather than leader, or rather than specialist, or rather than someone who can really help your client achieve new results. So the deal then was, okay, so what do you do for what are the questions for this whole type B thing? Like, what's an example of that? And so an example of that would be starting to ask questions that begin to show your client that they don't even know what they're talking about, right? Like they know that they need help, but they don't really know what to ask about it. Like, for example, what about, you know, helping your client develop, repackage their products in a way that helps them sell more products all at the same time, or help to build recurring revenue, or like additional revenue streams they didn't have before, or like since COVID has happened and everybody's in quarantine and everything, what about questions about how they can move some of their in-person, you know, face-to-face, you know, transactional types of business online, so we can do some of that stuff online, like, you know, asking some questions about that, like kind of digging into what outcomes they're looking for, and then providing solutions that address those types of outcomes. And if you're asking questions like that, you're fundamentally changing who your client views you as. And that is going to change the outcome of the meeting. So they're going to be thinking, they might even come into the meeting thinking, well, I'm just going to ask some questions because I'm looking for a website. I want to know how much it costs. And if I can afford it, maybe I'll say yes. But what's happening now is you're beginning to establish a situation where they're not thinking that anymore. They're thinking, wow, yeah, I really do have these deep problems, and I don't know how I'm going to be able to, you know, keep my revenue up. Like, literally, I just had a conversation. I sent a giant, like, I don't even know. It wasn't really a proposal. It's just basically an email. I sent a big email to this organization that I work with that they do. They kind of specialize in like home education and have all different kinds of like curriculum and things like that. And they have these giant conventions. And in the convention, they have all these keynote speakers that talk about their different courses and their different methods of teaching, especially within your home or whatever. And but they can't do the convention anymore because you can't go to the convention hall anymore. The whole convention thing is shut down. And so they said, we've lost like 60% of our revenue. And so if I had gone and said, hey, well, would you like a better website? Or do you want to like start asking questions about, you know, improving their website or whatever, then nobody would do anything with that. Like, they're not looking at it. They're thinking, well, I can't afford the website I already have. Why would I expand that? But if you begin to say, well, here's like six ways to increase the revenue of your business, even though we can't have in-person conventions, that was basically the title. That was the subject line of my email, six new revenue streams for your business. That is a very different thing, because now you're actually telling them things that they didn't even know that they didn't know. And you're opening up a totally new conversation. And so, hey, look, it's Ralph. Hey, Ralph, good to see you too. And that's ultimately the difference between implementation and high ticket consulting. And so that's kind of what it comes down to. So it's not just enough for you to be asking the questions. The questions have to be they have to be addressing these type B unknowns, like new concepts, new ways, leadership, you know, things that will bring your client a degree of success that they couldn't achieve if it wasn't for you. So then if your client says no to that, then you have to figure out, well, why is it? And you don't want the reason that the client says no to be, oh, I can get the same thing for less somewhere else, or it was just too expensive, and I think I don't really even need a website because websites cost too much. I'll just use my Facebook page or whatever. Like, you don't want those to be the reasons that people say no. And so why I wanted to get on here today and talk about this is if the client is saying no, and then the thing that they do next is basically replace you with a low budget alternative, then that means they're looking at you as one of the low budget alternatives. You see what I mean? And so you don't want that, right? You want to be seen as a high ticket consultant, and there's a fundamental different approach to how you lead your clients with the way that you meet with your clients, the way that you price your work, the way that you write proposals, with the way that you advertise yourself, like the marketing that you put forth on your website. And if somebody asks you what to do, how do you answer? How do you answer the question, what do you do? Like if I was, you know, if I came across you on the street and I said, hey, Tony, what do you do? Or if I said, hey, Ralph, what do you do? Or if I said, hey, Melissa, what do you do? You know, what would you say back to me? Would you say, oh, I build websites? Or would you say, oh, I'm a digital marketer. I do email marketing. Would you say those types of things? Because if you're saying those types of things, you're messing it all up. Because what you're doing is you're advertising for people who are looking for websites or for looking for email marketing or looking for social media or whatever. So, or like Ralph would say, like, oh, I say I do web design. If you say that you do web design, you're going to attract people who want to buy websites. And so think about what that means. What that means is they think they know what a website costs, right? Like if someone says, I do websites, and then you start attracting clients that want to build websites, and then you say, and it costs $15,000, you lose, right? Like, what are you talking about, $15,000? Are you out of your mind? I can get a website for $15 per month on Wix or whatever. It's like, and so that's the problem, right? So like, if you answer that kind of question of what do you do with a technical service of some sort, then you're placing yourself in a situation where your value is the value of the technical service, right? That's the value. And that's a low budget thing. The value of those services keep going down and down and down. That's why we're in the price race to the bottom. And you don't want to be there. What you want to be is you want to be in a situation where you actually help people achieve better business outcomes. And you want to market your business based on that. That's the whole idea. And so now I'm going to say I help businesses increase their sales. That's a better thing. But what you really want to do is you want to scope down even further than that and say, I know how to help, I know how to generate a dozen leads per month for real estate investors. Yeah, say something like that, right? Like say something that you know how to do that's going to be of value to them. And then the value is going to be, okay, well, how do you do that? Like what's the value of a dozen leads per month for a real estate investor? That could be a lot. That could be $100,000, right? And so then if it is, like what if it's $100,000? Then your value is on that. Like, so who wouldn't pay $10,000 or $15,000 to make $100,000? Everybody would do that. And so that's where you want to be with your marketing, with the way that you position yourself, with the way that you present yourself to other clients. That's the whole idea. And so that's why I wanted to get on there today and talk to you guys about what happens when your client says no. Do they say no because they're just going to go find someone else who says, oh, I build websites too. I build websites too. Hire me. Like is that the situation? Like for example, in a Facebook group, say you hang out in a couple of different Facebook groups, and the purpose of that is you hope that somebody will come into the Facebook group and say, hey, I'm looking for a web designer, and then like piranhas, everybody says, oh, I can do a website for $1,000, I can do one for $850, I'll do $750, I got a $500, and it's like this price race to the bottom. It's like you don't want to be there. You'll never win like that. And it's just frustrating. And now that we've got like Upwork and Fiverr and this international community of people that can build websites, you really can't win because people in other countries, they can afford to take on the projects for way cheaper than you because the conversion rates between US currency and their currency and everything, it's like, it just doesn't work in your favor. Like you can't win like that. So Tony says, I say I'm a digital strategist and I get, huh? I say I bring together all aspects of a company's digital strategy. That's a slightly better thing. But you want to say, you want to dive deeper than that. What you want to say is, I deliver a specific outcome for a specific type of person, right? Like if someone says, what do? I say, I help web designers build a six-figure business they can run out of their house. If you're a web designer and you would like a six-figure business that you can run out of your house on your own, that's me. I'll help you do that. And I do it all day long, every day. That's what DoubleStack is literally all about. And it works. It works for me. That's how I built my business. It works for other double stackers. Like, we literally just landed at the $22,000 project last week, an $18,000 project a couple weeks before that. It's like, do you see the difference? Like, I don't say I'm a business consultant. I don't say I'm a business coach. I don't say I help people build websites. I say, if you're a web designer and you want to build a six-figure business, you can run out of your house. There's no faster and better way to do it than this, right? That's the idea. And so you want to be able to say the same thing for yourself. Like, who are you looking to work for? What outcome can you deliver for them? And why is working with you better than anyone else? Like, what's your thing? And then say that, and then the value will be on that, right? So that's the core. And another way of looking at it, which is the point of today's conversation, is, well, what if they say no? Where do they go next? And that should give you some insight into how they think of you. Because you might be thinking, oh, I'm this fancy digital strategist. I know how to do all these great things. I'm super high value. I've been doing it for 30 years, whatever it might be. Like, you've got all of this, you've got all these credentials and all this other stuff. But then when your client says no to you, they just go and say, oh, well, I'll just get the same thing for less for, you know, this other guy down the street or whatever. And that should tell you something. It should tell you that your perception of who you think you are is not the same perception of who your client thinks you are, because you're just being compared to all of these other low-budget alternatives. And so that's the idea behind today's presentation. So let's get you out there winning some high-ticket clients. So if this is the kind of thing that you want to do, and you want to kind of get the whole story down behind who you are and who you're trying to work with and what the outcomes are like, let's get on the phone and talk about it. It's like, that's the whole idea. So head over to doublestack.net/call and we'll get on the phone for like 45 minutes and figure that out for you. Like, how can we get you into a situation where you're answering these type B unknowns, right? Where you're bringing new insight. Like, you're a breath of fresh air. Like, you're someone who is fundamentally different from all the other low-budget alternatives out there. So that's kind of the idea behind all of this. So all of these notes are coming up. This is one of my taglines: handcrafting crisp, responsive WordPress sites and planning digital strategy for small businesses. Okay, that's getting somewhere. So at least you said small businesses, right? And, you know, crisp and responsive WordPress sites and so forth. But my opinion of that, like what I would say, like if we were working together, what I would say is we need a better value than WordPress sites, because you can get a WordPress site for $500 on Facebook or whatever, right? And so why build the WordPress site, and how can you dive in deeper than just for small businesses? And what does small business mean? And do you really even believe it? Like what Tony just said is an interesting thing, because one of the underlying principles of saying something like small businesses is it's just too broad to be true. There's no way that any one person can like create a winning strategy for all the kinds of businesses. You know, so what is that? Do you feel like you can create a winning strategy for a landscaping company or a real estate investor or like a handcrafted jewelry person or what about all of the different things? It's like, what about a nonprofit? It's like the way that you get clients and the way that you win business for all these different industries is so vastly different that there's no way that any one person or even any one business of a collection of people can say that they know what to do to get clients for all the businesses, right? It's just too much. It's like you can't, nobody would believe it. So if I go to a website and says, hey, let's grow your business, then I'm thinking they have no idea what they're talking about, because they don't know who I am. They don't know that they can grow my business. They might be able to grow some people's businesses. And so then what will happen is web designers will lean on, look at my portfolio and I'll prove it with my portfolio. And so then I look at people's portfolios or whatever, and it's like, okay, they build a website for a real estate agent, and they got a dentist website out there, and you know, a couple of people that run a dirt bike shop or whatever. But you know, what if I don't do those three things? Like, how do I know you could build a successful online presence for me if I'm a I do something like chiropractor. Like, what if I was a chiropractor and I wanted to hire you? But chiropractors have rules about what they can say about the outcomes of their practice, right? They can't make medical claims, right? And so, like, if you don't know that as a web designer, and you don't really know what to do to, like, help a chiropractor market their business without making medical claims, then that might mean chiropractors aren't a good fit for you. But and you'd rather work with a lawn care business or something, right? You see what I mean? It's not that you can't do good work. It's just, can you do good work for me? That's what I want to know. And if you say, well, I grow small businesses, I instantly, well, that's just too broad. I can't believe you can't do that. Nobody can do that. Nobody can grow a small business if they don't know what the small business is. And so that's where the benefit of picking some degree of a target market is just unbelievable in terms of the results that you get for actually finding clients. Like, if you could just say, I build websites for real estate agents, that is a vastly better thing to say than I build websites. You see what I mean? Because now it's like, hey, I do it for real estate agents. So, So Dennis is saying, how about online platform provider? So I think I get the sense of what you mean, meaning that it's more than just websites. It's like the whole online platform, which would be, you know, the branding and maybe compelling copy and maybe some email list building and social media management, or like the whole online platform. SEO might be part of the mix, like Tony just said. Yeah, all of that's cool. But if someone says I'm an online platform provider and I'm not me, like I'm somebody who's like a naturopath, I help people with digestive health, or you know, I was just talking to a primary care physician that I work with just last week. If I said to him, online platform provider, he doesn't know what that means. You know what I mean? It's like, think about who it is that you're truly trying to talk. Like, would you be happy if a physician called you up and said, you know, hey, Dennis, I want to work with you, and can you help me out? And then if you said that, and if she said, yeah, that would be a good fit. Well, okay, well, that's the kind of person you're talking to. If you said, I'm an online platform provider, would that person understand what that means? And then on top of that, it would be an online platform provider for whom, right? So like who can you build these online platforms for? Because the online platform for an author is very different from an online platform for a moving company, right? So those are all very different things. So for example, just to dive into it a little bit, like authors and writers, like it's they're prime candidates for people that might want coaching programs, right? Or like online group coaching programs, speaking engagements, you know, selling books. You know, those are all types of things that you can put on to the online platform for somebody that does that kind of stuff. And so now you're introducing new revenue streams, new business concepts. And it's like, if you have the ability not only to see the big picture of what people need to be doing in order to really establish their business with these new revenue streams and new concepts, but you also have the technical chops to pull it off, That's it, baby. I mean, that's what you need to be doing. And when you do that, you're landing five-figure. Like, look at this. I keep this on my desk all the time. Like all day long, every day, I keep this trophy sitting on my desk for a couple of reasons. One reason is, if I'm not going to be selling a project that's more than $10,000, there's no way that I'm going to be able to generate a business outcome for people, because I just don't have the resources to do what it takes to do it. So I keep this on my desk for that. The second reason I keep this on my desk is because I send this trophy to all the double stackers I work with. And I sent out two of them over the past couple weeks, because double stackers are landing $10,000 plus clients. Some of them are 20 or 30. I think Jim, I think he might, he landed a 40 some thousand dollar client as his first client. And so of course that's over 10,000. So I keep this on my desk all the time because it just keeps me focused. It's like, hey, you know, this is what it's all about. And I want to send one of these to you. Like, I want to send a $10,000, you know, double stack five-figure family trophy to you. And that's why I keep this on the desk. So if you want one on your desk, head over to doublestack.net/call and let's build a six-figure web design business that you can run out of your house with, you know, with $10,000 clients. Because keep in mind, you don't need that many. Like, generally speaking, you need about 7 or 8 clients kind of in this structure, and you'll be in the six figures. And that would be awesome, right? Like, imagine having a web design business where you're making over $100,000 a year. You've got a portfolio of 5 to 10 clients, usually around 7 or 8 clients, and you're crushing it, right? Like, imagine what that would be about, putting 10, 12,000 bucks a month in your bank account. and looking at one of these trophies on your desk all day long. So head over to doublestack.net/call, and what you'll see there is my actual personal calendar will pop up, and you'll be able to pick a time where we can talk about this stuff. We'll talk about who is a good target market for you to go after, and like how do you tell that story in the context of your skill set? Like if you do web design and SEO and that sort of stuff that tends to be real technical, how do you tell that story in the context of the types of clients you really want to be reaching? And how can we change that so that you start attracting these high value clients rather than saying, hey, I build websites, I do web design, I'm an SEO expert. Like if you market yourself based on those technical things, you're going to find people that want to hire you for cheap rates. And that's going to be frustrating. It's going to be frustrating for you just relationally with those types of clients because they're really demanding. It's going to be frustrating for your lifestyle because you're going to be burning yourself out, working too many hours, and just feeling frustrated, like you're just kind of banging your head against the wall. When you could be sitting at your desk looking at one of these trophies, feeling awesome about the $10,000 client you're winning. So head over to doublestack.net/call. We'll get on the phone and we'll talk about how to bring all this stuff to life for you. And it's totally free. It's a 45-minute free phone call to see if Doublestack is right for you. And in the midst of that, we'll be talking about like a step-by-step strategy so that you can actually figure out how to do all of these types of things. And even if we don't end up working together, that's totally fine too. It's still a totally free call. And you know, if you do want my help implementing the concepts that we talk about during our session, then we'll talk about getting you enrolled in DoubleStack so that you can just crank this stuff up as fast as possible because you don't have to do it alone. Like the whole idea behind DoubleStack is it's a one-on-one mentoring thing between you and me. And for that reason, I can only work with about 15 people, maybe 20 at max at a time. And what that means is you're not in a situation where there's 1,000 people running through a course and blah, blah, blah. My goal for you is results for you. It's not designed to be a result. Like I could run 1,000 people through the course if I wanted to, but I can't get these trophies on 1,000 people's desks all at the same time. And that's why I set up DoubleStack the way I do, where I work with about 15 or 20 people at a time so that I can mail these things out to you guys, right? That's the whole idea. And so you don't have to figure out by yourself. We write proposals together. We work on your website together. We work on the story that you tell about how you answer the question, what do I do? We work on that together. And we just bring all of these things together so that you're able to get these high value clients. And you don't even need that many. You need less than 10 of them usually to get to the point where you're well in the six figures. So if that sounds good to you, head on over to doublestack.net/call and we'll start figuring out how to get you some better clients. Awesome, guys. Great talking to you. And I'll see you again next Tuesday. High five to you.